Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Well, good evening. We had a wonderful, wonderful service yesterday, and tonight's kind of a family night, and I love small gatherings. I do, because it's more intimate, and it's just a blessing. And God is just doing great and wonderful things all over, in us and through us, among us. But tonight, I've decided to not teach on our series, to continue on our series. I wanted to take a break tonight because I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about a message that I was to share, and I actually titled the message, Though a Righteous Man Falls. And I'm going to read to you from Proverbs, and later I'm going to explain why I felt like God put this on my heart. Proverbs 24:16 says, For although a righteous man falls seven times, they rise up again, but the wicked stumble when disaster strikes. In my life, I usually am called to speak to a group like this that many of you have followed Christ for a long time and to be an encourager, but I want to say this, that even as believers, after we receive Christ, the Bible says in this world we'll have trouble. We're not going to live a life without struggle or trouble in our life at some point in time. But here's the thing. Sometimes our struggles and our troubles can cause us to become discouraged, and the enemy will say, you need to give up now. This is just too much. We go through seasons, and I want to say something else. We actually face the same temptations of those and the same troubles of those who do not follow Christ. And sometimes we have some of the same problems the world has. And sometimes we fall into sin, we fall into traps of the enemy. So here's a question that I would have for all of us, and it's this. Since I've received and since you've received Christ in your life, has there ever been a time when you stumbled or you fell back or you have given in to temptation or you've lost your way? And if you did not answer yes to the question, then you know you've fallen to the sin of lying, because we all have those times and seasons in our life. Let me read you a verse that we always like to say is for unbelievers, but it's not. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us as sheep have gone astray. The Bible, Jesus called us sheep, and he's the good shepherd. We've all gone astray. We've turned each of us to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the punishment of us all. This verse is not just for unbelievers at all. Did you notice that it says, we like sheep, we're sheep, and we've turned everyone to his own way? But I'm going to give you my translation, not the King James, but the PBK translation that you've never heard of, the Pam Casey's translation. You've never heard of that translation, have you? Well, let me translate it. We are just like sheep, people. We have a strong tendency to wander off and go the wrong way. Sometimes we get lost, and sometimes we just deliberately go off and go astray. Sometimes we go AWOL, we're away without leave, just like Jonah. We go in the opposite direction that God has told us to go, and we have this inclination to sometimes do things our own way. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Instead of God's way. And that's why God, who loved this whole world, the people of this world, including you and I, sent his son, and his son took the punishment that we should have received in himself, in his body. That's my translation of that. Breaking it down in lay terms, we do have a propensity to do what we want, when we want, and go off sometimes. And all I can say is thank God for the cross, because through the cross we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. According to God's word, there is none good, no, not one. And even if you were, let's suppose something for just a minute. Even if you were what the world calls a really, really good person, you're just tops. You're really, really good. And we already know you're not, and I'm not, but you're really, really good. My good and your good would never be good enough. The Bible says that our righteousness, the best we can be, our goodness, is as filthy rags when compared to the righteousness and God's standard. We don't even come close. We don't even come close. There's a children's song that I used to love that we used to sing with our kids called God's Still Working on Me. I'm not the same person I used to be, but he's definitely still working on me. We need to sing that maybe in the upstairs group. The greatest thing since salvation, you know what you've heard me say, is and baptized, being baptized in water is being baptized with the Holy Spirit, because he is the person who gives us the strength and the power to stand against temptation, and he helps us, and he often saves us from the world, and he saves us a lot of times from ourselves. I heard a very interesting story the other day that really hit me, and it hit me in such a powerful way. It was a story of a man who was, he had a terrible disease. And finally, what the doctors told him was something I found very interesting. Here's what the doctor told him. Your body is attacking itself. Your cells are attacking themselves. And something, when I heard that, just went off in me. You know, we like to say, don't we, when trouble comes our way, the enemy is attacking. I had someone just yesterday, the enemy is attacking me. We say it all the time. What if we're attacking ourselves? What if it's like that man that the doctor said, your body's attacking itself? Instead of blaming the devil, have we made poor choices in life? Have we deliberately done things the wrong way? And I said yesterday that we definitely need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit if we go to Target. We need it in traffic. And I've said this before. I don't need the Holy Spirit because Miriam's going to do something bad to me. I need the Holy Spirit so I don't do something bad to her. We can't say, well, that would be like saying, well, she needs the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit because she's so bad. No, I need the Holy Spirit for me. And that's where we get things kind of a little twisted up. A lot of times when we read the Word of God and we read a scripture and it says, you know, God, you know, a lying person, a person who's a thief, a person who turns to wickedness, and immediately our mind goes, well, I know so-and-so, they've turned to wickedness. I think they told a lie. They may have taken something that wasn't. We need to read the Word of God and apply it to my life. I can't read the Word of God and say, I think that may be you, Janice. I hate to say this, but it might be you. No, the Word of God is a personal word to you and I to help us. But this verse really hit me this week when I was going to study for Joseph, and God just literally kind of spoke to me and said, no, we're going to do something different. So Proverbs 24 and 16 says, for although the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, and the wicked stumble when disaster strikes. Now, first of all, we'll start with the number seven. You already know what I'm going to say, more than likely. The reason it says seven times is it indicates 7 days a week. If we fall every day of the week as a righteous man, if we have the righteousness of Christ, we're going to rise again. God's going to help us again. He's going to help us get up. And it may sound funny, but what I found funny was that God never said if the righteous falls two times, he'll rise again, or three times, or four times. Do you know why? The Holy Spirit put this in my, you know, he was kind of funny. He's funny. He's got a great personality. He's like, no, you guys all need the seven-day plan. You all need the seven-day plan. You don't need the three-day plan. You don't need the four-day plan. You need the seven-day plan. I got you covered. You know, it's like, what kind of insurance do you want? I need the seven-day plan. And God knew that. And I'm so thankful for God. And his word is meaningful like that. It is applied to my life. But nowhere does it say that if you fall all these times that God is through with you, God is finished with you. But it does say that the wicked, those without Christ, this means not just people who do bad things, because we're all sinners, a seven-day plan. We're all sinners. But those who have not received Christ, that's what it's referring to, they do not get up again when disaster strikes, because they weren't up in the first place. They had not received Christ. And, you know, they don't have the resurrected Christ in them. If that same spirit lives in me, dwells in me, I can rise again, my body. You know, I can prove that God's not done with us, but through the lives of so many people in the Word of God. First of all, Peter, he denied Christ three times, three-day plan for him. He denied Christ three times. And let me say this. If he had denied Christ seven times every day of the week, he would have still rose up again. Because God is, the ministry of Christ is through the cross, reconciliation and restoration. And you know, when Peter denied Christ, he denied him at a time when Jesus needed a friend more than he had ever needed a friend. Did Jesus fire him? You're not a disciple anymore. That's it. We're done. Not at all. Not at all. We see, in fact, that after Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when Pentecost came, he was so bold, and he was the first one to stand up for Jesus Christ. In fact, he's famous because he stood up for Christ, and the title of his first sermon was, "Hey there, you snakes and vipers." I mean, I couldn't preach that in this church, that we would be like, you guys got to go. You got to go. But Peter was so bold and filled with the Holy Spirit that he was able to preach a sermon, "Hey there, you brood of vipers." And 3,000 people came into the kingdom of God. That sounds a bit odd, doesn't it? No, no, no. The truth will set you free. And, you know, here's the thing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit because I don't get myself clean and then go take a bath, do I? I get a bath to be clean. So I don't come to church because I'm all squeaky clean. I come to get in the Word and God cleans me up. And you don't get well and then go to the hospital. Well, I'm going to wait till I get better and I'll go to the hospital. That's not how it works. You go and get the help that you need. And so we all need Jesus, but we all have this human tendency to fail, to fall, to stumble. And we want to purpose to live like Daniel and a life of honor because that's a blessed life. But to do that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. But we never need to feel like no matter how far we go in Christ, no matter how many years we've served Christ, we never need to feel like we've arrived, we've got this, we can't fall, we can't be tempted, we can't stumble. Even King David, a man after God's own heart, he did fall to the temptation of serious sin. And we always think about his adultery. Excuse me, we're talking murder here. He murdered this woman's husband. He murdered you know who Uriah was? He lived next door to him because he was his chief bodyguard. He literally saved David and guarded his house. He was protecting David while David was taking his wife, and then he had him murdered. Who does that? You know what? He fell to temptation. He thought he was all that. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was disobedient to God. But was he restored? Yes, he was restored to God because he had a repentant heart, which we're going to talk about. I love the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. He said something interesting when he had an affliction by the pool. He said, "I have no man to help me." And I guess that's something I want to say tonight. There is no man who can help us stand strong. There is no man who can cause us to rise up. There is no man who can heal us, only Jesus Christ. We can only get the kind of help we really need from Jesus. But we can sometimes find ourselves having fallen. And I think that that is a clear trap from the enemy for us to quit, to give up. We look around and we think, well, other people are squeaky clean. Other people, they just have it all together. They're serving God. They're quoting scriptures. But we are all human. There's no one good. No, not one. And when you find yourself on the ground, we call out to Jesus. But we never give up. And we never quit because we're going to rise again. But I want to talk to you real briefly about how God uses broken people. Because we're all flawed and we're all broken. We've all been hurt. We've all been beaten up by the world. Things like that. We all have bruises. When Jesus had the seven, which we're going to be talking about soon with the cross, seven issues of blood from his hand, from his feet, from his head, which represents a crown of thorns, headaches, brain tumors, a sound mind, mental illness. There was one in there that he was beaten and bruised. He had bruises. And bruises indicate bleeding on the inside. If you have a bruise, like I had on my eyes recently, it's because there is blood on the inside. You know what? That's for broken hearts. That's the brokenness that we have. And we've all been there. But I want to talk about, you know, sometimes we fall into traps, we fall into temptations, we fall into sin. But there's another kind of falling. There's another kind of falling. And, you know, this is where God put Alan Furlan on my heart. and said, why don't you just dedicate this message to Alan Ferland? Because Alan has served God for so, so many years. And the other kind of falling is when someone pushes you down, when the enemy shoves you to the ground, when someone pushes you. And as I was preparing this, I just kept thinking, you know, first of all, I thought, well, I'm not going to, you know, dedicate a message talking about falling into sin to Alan. He's literally our poster child around here for a good Christian guy. That's Alan. You know, he's not falling into some kind of immorality. But that doesn't mean he hasn't fallen. That doesn't mean that someone hasn't pushed him down. And I kept thinking about this, and the Lord just kept saying, call his name, that this is for Alan. And I kept pushing it aside because I knew Alan wasn't going to fall into sin. But I just kept feeling the many times that I've seen Alan have just life thrown at him, just pushed at him, just shoved him where he was just literally on the ground when Kathy was in surgery. And, you know, Kathy's here tonight, thank God. But I can remember when Kathy got sick and we were all at the hospital, and it was, you know, Kathy's sisters and Samantha and Alan and Dave Curtis wound up there with us and myself. And we were just all praying while she had her in surgery for so long. And when Kathy got sick, and Alan was at his lowest, and he just, that was such a blow to him. You just almost had to be there to see his tears and to understand how low he was, and how the enemy had pushed him to the ground, and he had literally fallen down on the ground in that, where we were praying. And there was a time in Alan's life, I remember another particular time in Alan's life, when a particular people group, I will not name them, but a particular people group in his profession came out against him, and he was not getting jobs because they were speaking against him. And they had pushed him, and he had fallen. And every single time, he got up. And then I remember when Alan called me and said, the doctor says that I have cancer. I have cancer. And I kept thinking, there's another hit. Do the hits literally just keep coming? Does Alan have to keep getting these kind of hits, God? I don't understand this. I don't get this. But I did realize that every single time he just seemed to get up again. And it's like I had on a Sunday morning that clown that we used to have that had a perpetual smile on its face, but it was for the purpose of you just punch it, and you punch it, and it goes down, and it falls, but because it's weighted, and it's because it's grounded, it's solid, it doesn't move from its place hardly, and it's filled with air, which represents us being filled with the Holy Spirit, grounded in the Word of God, and life can punch you, and you still get up again, and you're still smiling. That's Alan. That's Alan, but that's you and I too. It's like that toy. And, you know, the devil hates us, and he wants to push us, and he wants to push us around because he thinks we won't rise again. He thinks we don't have the ability to get up, but through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the blood of the Lamb, we have the ability to get up. And I just kept thinking about this, how to live a righteous life. And you know, God always, when I'm going to share something that I think is meaningful to you, or that God has put on my heart, I do something that Sandra knows, several of you probably know already. I ask God to confirm that message, this message, that the righteous falls seven times. You can fall every day of the week, and you can get up again. And I always ask God to confirm the message, and something so strange happened. Kathy knows already. I had just finished typing, the righteous man falls seven times, dedicate to Alan Ferland. And Kathy called me. Now, Alan's out of town. He's not even in town. She texts me on Messenger. I'm getting it wrong. She texts me on Messenger and said, Pastor Pam, Alan's out of town, and he just took a terrible fall. And I was like, oh, God, you didn't have to knock him down to confirm the message. But God didn't do that. We know that. We absolutely know that. He's recovering, right, Kathy? He's recovering. But I was like, yay, God, you can use something like that. But it was my confirmation. I didn't have to think, hey, is Alan God going to get up again? I knew already. I knew already because I was already typing it. And I just thought it was the coolest thing how God sends us a message and then he confirms the message in that. And I thought, how cool is that? Not that he fell, but that God was able to use it and confirm. I want to get that straight. But the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, that God directs our path. And we all know that Alan fell, but it could have been worse, right? You can fall. The enemy can knock you down. You can fall, but Alan's already up again. But you can also fall and have a concussion and a brain aneurysm and never get up again. We know that too, right? We know that people fall and don't get up. And because Alan loves the Word of God, he has a heart for God. He's been through fires, but God's always been there with him. And he's fallen, but it's not his fault. He's got pushed down. But God sees and God knows, and he always takes his right arm and he always gets Alan right up again. And he does the same thing for you and I. And you know, I was speaking last night in our Spanish service, and though I'm so not Spanish, I read a scripture on hearing God's voice. And this is how sensitive it is. We have to listen for God's voice. Isaiah 30:21 says, "And your ears will hear as a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' And when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." God is so close, and he's just directing us and telling us, go this way, don't go that way. It's up to us to listen and obey the word of God and not to be a Jonah, to do exactly what God says. And I know that Alan's not perfect. I know that he probably gets angry, though I've never really seen it. But no one is perfect, but he is clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't ever doubt his testimony. I know who he is because I've seen how he responded. You know, the test is how you respond in terrible times when the enemy comes against you. And the other test is, how do you respond when you win the lotto? You buy a boat, you never go to church again because you don't need God, because you've already made it, right? You can buy medical care, you can buy anything you need, and what do you need to go to church for? And certainly not tithing, no way. And not on that, you know, maybe on $30, but not on that. But you know what? I've seen Alan. I've seen him, and I've seen a lot of you go through hard times, and still you rose up again. And if we've made it through 100% of our troubles, what makes you think we won't make it through the next thing that comes our way? We absolutely will. But I'm telling you that you may come upon something, and you may have a temptation to say, enough is enough. I'm not going to go through this. But I'm going to read you a couple scriptures. We're not going to be long. We're going to be about 8 more minutes. Psalm 145:14, the Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. Sometimes in life, you're going to think your load's too heavy to carry. And you may feel like I'm just going to drop. He helps the fallen. Let me tell you, here's something else. And this is something I have to say. I can't do this without saying this, though I'm not particularly fond of this verse. Sorry, Lord, but I will do this. Micah 7:8. It's Proverbs 24:17. Don't gloat when your enemy falls. Don't let your heart rejoice when he falls and stumbles. Twice. Don't gloat when your enemy falls, and don't let your heart rejoice when he stumbles. That is ungodly. You should not wish that on anyone, that anyone would fall. Your ministry is to lift the fallen. If we represent Christ, what are we supposed to do, let's say, when one of us falls into temptation, even into sin? You know, there's times if someone sins against you, I can remember ministering to a wife whose husband had sinned against her and telling her, you have two choices. You have two choices. You're free to go now. But there is another choice. You can forgive and you can do the work toward reconciliation. Even though none of this is your fault, you got pushed down. You got a blow. But this is the better way. I'm just telling you which is the better choice. This is not a perpetual thing. This was a one-time thing in this person's life. But you know what? That is what God does for us. How many times have we went astray? How many times have we left him? We're the bride of Christ. But I want to share a verse with you. Psalm 51:17 says, My sacrifice is a broken spirit, a broken and repentant, sorrowful heart God will not hate or despise. What that means is my gift to you, God, my offering is a broken spirit and a broken, sorrowful heart. And you don't hate that, God. Let me ask you something. How would you feel about a person who gave you a broken gift? Hey, Millie, here's a broken gift. I got this for you. Lots of people would say, I don't want that. That is not useful to me. Why would I want a broken gift? But the Master does. The Master does. I can, because he sees the value even when we're broken. Watch this. Many years ago, before my dad died, when we were in the hospital, he had had a bout of pancreatitis, and we were down in the children's playroom because I remember it clearly, and he was in pain, but he decided we would watch the Antique Roadshow. So we would try to guess the value of these broken pieces of, what do you think that dresser's worth, Pam? And I'd be like, I think they're going to give him $1,000, or they wouldn't even be on the show. They're going to give him. And then the guy would go, this is worth $25,000. And we'd be like, what? But somebody who was a master craftsman was examining that and all the carvings and the wood, and they were the one that was going to assign value to that. They could see hidden value. Do you see these carvings over here? This is from the 1700s. Someone got down on their hands. This was hand carved. It was all kinds of things. We never could ever guess the value of it. And that's the way it is with people. People are valuable to God. He sees what we don't see. Can God use imperfect people? Yes, he can. He's a perfect God who uses imperfect people. There are no other kind, but he can also use very broken people, very flawed people, because he's the one who fixes us up and sands us up and gets us ready. And if we fall, he's going to lift us again. I want to give you an example as our praise team comes to worship. We're going to just spend a few minutes in worship. But let me tell you what a great example of that is. It's eggs. It's eggs. Eggs are completely useless. What good is an egg until it's broken? You've got to break it in order for it to feed somebody. I've got to be broken. God allows me to be broken through life, through the struggles of life. Crack, crack, crack. A little bump here, a little bump there, a little bump there. And then I'm poured out and I'm able to bless people and feed people. I can be scrambled eggs to one person. I can be a boiled egg to another. But it has to be cracked. The same is true in the making of perfume. I did not say that right. Correctly. Perfume. Flowers have to be crushed and squeezed. Do we like it? Is it pleasant? No. But we do like the result, right? We like the end result. So no matter what, don't let discount yourself or don't discount anybody else because you see that they have some brokenness in their life. You see some cracks in their life, some struggle in their life. You know, the same thing talking about the egg example, the little chicken. You don't help a chicken out of an egg. You can't do that. It will die. It won't be strong enough to face the world if you prematurely bring it into the world. Just like a baby, you don't want the premature. You have the timing, God. That little chick has to fight its way out and struggle to get strong. So I wanted to encourage you tonight to stay strong in the Lord. And even in your brokenness, continue to worship him. Let him lift you. And it doesn't matter how many times you fail, how many times you fall. You are a work in progress. And I want to tell you that my word to you is to rise up, because you know what I've said. Rise up is not a physical act. When Jesus had the man at the pool, he didn't say stand up. That's physical. He said rise up. That's within your spirit. That means you stand up with purpose. God wants you to stand for a purpose, and that is Jesus Christ. And he wants to use every one of you, no matter how broken you are, no matter how old you are. God can still and will still use you. Don't give up. Stand strong. Be like Alan. It doesn't matter how many times you fall, you're going to get up again. You're going to get up again. He's up again. He's running again. And, you know, I was telling you the story about how, you know, the group decided there was a group of people that didn't want him to do things several years ago, I think, wasn't it, Kathy, several years? That, and now he's getting jobs. And, you know, the best is yet to come. Not long ago, he was featured in a magazine. And, you know, you just can't hold God's people back. If we're willing, just don't give up. Don't give up.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.